You're on mute, Todd.
Thank you, Tim. And thank you for that presentation. So with that, we'll move on to item 9, investment benchmark recommendations, and back to Scott.
Thank you very much. If I could bother you to put the memo up.
So Christina, are you working on that?
Yeah, we don't have it easily available, so we're going to pull it off the website. Just give us a minute.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I can load it from my end here. Give me one moment.
Thanks, Tim.
Sorry about that, Christina.
There we go.
Thanks for that. So a couple of introductory comments, and then we'll move on to a couple of pages of the memo that have some graphics that I want to speak to. So you may recall this was an exercise that began, gosh, I think even in late 2019, that was put on hold, tabled because of COVID, and then we moved into the asset allocation discussion and had other priorities move ahead. And so we're getting back to this now. And so the notion of this exercise is taking a look at the benchmarks that the plan uses and seeing if there are any opportunities for improvement. And the approach that we took was really to utilize the benchmarking criteria put out by the CFA Institute. And there's a cute little mnemonic device that they use to show the characteristics of a good benchmark. With that, I'll ask you to advance to the second page. And you can see here that the mnemonic is SAMRI, the acronym SAMRI. And all these characteristics, the first letters of the characteristics, conveniently spell out SAMRI. So I'm going to go through them and just explain them. The specified in advance, that means the people that are being benchmarked know in advance what they're being benchmarked against. And prior to the point of time that they're being measured, that it's appropriate. So, you know, you wouldn't use a treasury bond benchmark to benchmark an equity manager. You'd use an equity benchmark, and that gets to appropriateness. Is it measurable? So can you calculate a return on the benchmark easily using a methodological discipline that is consistent through time? Unambiguous, that means that the elements, the underlying elements of the benchmark are clear and can be identified and defined. Reflective of current investment opinions, that is the manager that's being measured against the benchmark knows what securities are in the benchmark. Accountable, so the manager knows they're being held accountable to the benchmark. That is, they can choose to invest similarly or dissimilarly to the benchmark, and they know that they're being measured against it. And then lastly, and probably most importantly, is it investable? That is, can you get exposure to the benchmark, like buying an S&P 500 index fund, for example? So if all those things are satisfied, it is determined that it can be a perfect benchmark. And rarely do we get all of those satisfied. But for public market investments, it's much easier. And for private market investments and alternatives, it's much more difficult. So with that, I'll ask you to advance to the next page. And so we took a look at all of your the investments in your portfolio and sort of applied this SAMRI framework. And you can see that in the public market equity portion of your growth portfolio, we hit all of the SAMRI characteristics to one degree or another. And it looks like you're in pretty good shape there. Moving into, well, down into the public market portion of your public market fixed income, right? You're in pretty good shape. there as well. And then in the liquidity bucket, you're in good shape. So across all of the public markets, we think you have good benchmarks and they make sense. Moving into the more esoteric portions of your portfolio, it gets more difficult. Now, the question is, can you make any improvements? So for example, in risk parity, right? You've got a 60-40 global benchmark and you're not hitting on all of them. You're hitting on most to one degree or another, but the question is there anything better out there? And the answer is really no, right? These are hard strategies to benchmark and you just use the benchmark that you have as one lens within which to judge the performance of the strategy, but you do other things as well, like consider the levered rates exposure and whether that's appropriate in your portfolio, as we talked about earlier. And so there's not really much that you can do there, right? It's the best that can be done. Similarly, in the diversifying portfolio, right? It falls short, but there's nothing better out there. When we get to the illiquid private portion of your portfolio, looking at private equity there, it's the fourth row from the top of the chart. You can see that we're hitting on a few of them, and we're really missing on a number of them, right? So it's not appropriate, arguably, and it's not investable, right? So two big issues associated with private markets benchmarks. And we recognize that and we do the best we can. However, benchmarking, when you don't have benchmarks that are closely tied to the strategies that are being measured against, you have tracking error, right? And in some cases, tracking error is good. You use tracking error as a risk that you're getting paid for in some cases. In active management, you want managers with tracking error as long as they're getting excess returns for the use of that tracking error. And you can look at the portfolio and say, you know, are we getting compensated for the tracking error risk that we're taking, being different from the benchmark? And so you recognize that tracking error is a tool that you apply. But in the case of your private markets portfolio, that tracking error is not compensated. And it's avoidable. And it's something that can actually do more harm than good. And so to describe that, I'm going to look at the table at the lower portion of the page there. And there's really two sources of tracking error in the portfolio. I take it back. So I want to move to the next slide, the next page, and the table there. So there's two sources of tracking error. One is implementation lag, which I'm not concerned about. You guys address that through your annual recalibration of your intermediate term asset allocation. And so the implementation lag, the fact that you're not 100% implemented in accordance with your long-term investment policy is not an issue. What is an issue is using a public markets benchmark to track private markets and the reporting lag of private markets relative to public markets. And this is the table that I wanted to draw your attention to. So I pulled out two time periods that really highlight this issue. You're in the second and third quarters of last year, right? It was a volatile couple of quarters. One was really down and then the next one snapped back significantly. And you can see how your private markets program performed relative to the public markets benchmark. You know, the public markets benchmark is daily valued, and you know exactly at the end of the quarter, you know exactly what you would have gotten if you had invested in that benchmark. But the private equity program is not daily valued and the values are lagged, and we try and make an adjustment by lagging the public markets benchmark as well, but it's certainly imperfect. And as you can see here in the second quarter, the public market was down based on the market drawdown significantly, and the private equity program seemingly did really well. And then the very next quarter, when the public markets snapped back double digits, the private equity program seemingly did really poorly. So when you average them out, you know, it comes out in the wash. But here's where the potential harm lies. When you guys as trustees are looking at performance on a quarter over quarter basis, this gets rolled up to the total fund level. So you've got this big impact from private markets that makes the total fund relative to the total fund benchmark look like it's jumping all over the place, right? High tracking error that is not real, and it's not providing any value to the fund. And it could lead to poor decision-making, right? You may say, well, what the heck is going on here? Why are we underperforming so much in the third quarter? And by the way, give you a false sense of complacency in the second quarter. Oh, we outperformed, great. But it's not real outperformance or underperformance. It's just discrepancies due to the mismatched benchmarks. So the question is, you know, I said sometimes you can't do anything about this. The question is, what can you do about this? And I think in this case, there is something you can do. So what I recommend that you do is you basically, for your quarterly reporting purposes, you basically benchmark the private markets against themselves. So you're not getting any informational value on a quarter over quarter basis about your private markets in this instance, because it'll just show the private markets return. And then that return will roll up to the total fund. So it won't give you any informational value, but it won't detract value by providing this phantom tracking error and lead to potentially poor decision-making or cause false comfort or false concern. And then a reasonable question may be, okay, well, so Scott, I get that, but then how do we know if our private markets program is doing what it's supposed to be doing? You're not showing me any comparative data. And there I say, well, let's adjust our evaluation period for private markets to the 1-year review you guys already do with StepStone. And let's enhance that to include more metrics, dive deeper during that 1-year review. I argue that you shouldn't be looking at private markets in any depth in more than a year's, more than every once a year anyway, because it's not a public market investment that you can turn on or off as you choose. These things, you get into them and you're into them for 10 years. And so you want to take a look about every year and say, yeah, you know, is it, are the funds performing within expectations? Do we want to get re-up for the next fund? Is the program working like it's supposed to? Do we want to make any adjustments that we can implement over the longer term? And that's the time when you really want to do a deep dive on your private markets portfolio. Incidentally, in that quarterly report, we do have separate pages for private markets that show, you know, investment multiples. They show the internal rate of return, the way returns should be calculated for private markets. And then I would add metrics to that annual review, and I'm happy to work with staff and benchmark to put those adjustments in place so that when you do look at your private markets, you're really getting a good deep dive assessment of whether the programs are working and have a meaningful discussion about what may or may not be done to make adjustments to the program, which you shouldn't be having on a quarterly basis. So in conclusion, you know, I think your benchmarks are fine. By the way, I should have stated this up front. You know, the way that you currently benchmark your private markets is the way that most folks do it. you know, there's been some advances in the ability to make adjustments to public market equivalent benchmarks that, you know, we would talk to StepStone about putting in place. There are things that can be done now that when you guys were thinking about benchmarking your private markets portfolio in the past, you know, people just weren't doing it. So you guys are right in the mainstream. What I'm talking about is making improvements on a go-forward basis. And the two improvements are changing your quarterly reporting so that private markets are essentially benchmarks against themselves to get rid of the harmful tracking error, and making adjustments to the annual deep dive evaluation so that you have more and better information to assess whether or not your private market program is meeting your expectations. And with that, I will stop talking.
Thanks, Scott. Any trustee comments or questions?
I take it this is just more a sense of the board as opposed to requiring any resolution. Correct, Todd?
That's how I read it. I mean, it concludes with if the board agrees with these recommendations,
right.
.. So I took that to mean they were looking for direction. It's not agendized as like an action item.
Right.
Obviously, it would come back before us for final changes. Am I reading this right, Tim, Gail?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the benchmarking decision is largely at the discretion of the consultant. So at this point, if the board agrees with the consultant, you'd simply be providing direction. We would take a look and make sure that there's nothing that bleeds over into policy that needs to be updated. But on first review, we didn't see anything that requires a policy action. This is simply the direction of the board.
Thank you for the clarification, Tim. Do any board members object to the suggestions Scott laid before us? Suggested changes?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Scott.
I don't object. I actually support it. I think in terms of giving direction, I don't want to leave it as there were no objections as much as I would want to say. I think it's a valuable shift to make because to me anyway, the quarterly benchmarking against, you know, public markets plus some percentage is just fictional. Well, it's not fictional. It is what it is, but it doesn't tell you anything about the private market investment, right? So I support this change. I think this is a good idea. I like the year-over-year analysis that's a little more enhanced, a little deeper dive into the investment itself. I mean, you know, when we look at the private equity J-curve, a seven-year kind of a horizon for an investment, 7 to 10 years, I mean, it is what it is. You go in, the funding calls happen, the money goes out, and it's another 5 years before we know if it met our expectation. We monitor it, but benchmarking it against a public index plus some percentage doesn't tell us anything, I don't think. So anyway, I fully support it. I hope others do.
Thank you for framing that a little more eloquently than I did. But
makes sense to me too.
Yeah, I agree as well. Any other trustees have any?
They do.
Okay.
I agree as well.
Thanks, Donnie. John, did you want to say something, or I'm sorry, I talked over you.
No, other than to agree. Certainly, Scott did a great job of describing Gordon, why he thought it was a good idea, and I agree with that.
I also agree.
Thanks, Louie. Okay, I'll give one last opportunity for any trustees to weigh in. And hearing none, Scott, I think you have the direction that you sought, correct?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much, everybody. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you for the presentation.